Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of the Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text to voicemail line is always there for you. Our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369 is that number. Well, happy Monday. Hope everybody out there enjoyed All-Star Weekend. I very much enjoyed my time doing various nerding out of all things NBA and all things Chicago basketball. It was one of those weekends and one of those moments in your life that don't exactly seem real because they seem too cool and too good to be true. I met Tom Thibodeau. He was doing a podcast with Tom Haberstroh, the NBC NBA national insider, at our event that was at Highline in River North on Friday afternoon. And shout out to everybody who came out for that. Me and Big David John snuck a pick with Tibbs. Unbelievable. We also welcomed an NBC Sports Chicago alum and a Chicago broadcasting legend who's now doing a great job over in New York covering the Brooklyn Nets, Sarah Kustak, onto our show. Got to chat with her. And also Chicago native, five-time NBA All-Star, gold medal-winning Olympian, Tim Hardaway. Just so many surreal moments. And the events themselves were a lot of fun. A lot of entertaining stuff over the weekend, and it culminated with a very entertaining All-Star game on Sunday night. And the opening ceremonies to that game, with the video that they put together, all these iconic Chicagoans standing over that model, that white model of the city, from Chicago basketball legends like Dwayne Wade and Isaiah Thomas to, you know, Common and Barack Obama and all these people, Candace Parker. It was, I mean, I was getting choked up watching it. And then, of course, Common's intro on the court of, you know, if this city could talk. And that great piece he did about the city of Chicago and basketball and how the two are and have always been intertwined, and how it means so much to everybody who is a fan of the sport, who grows up in the streets of this city playing the sport and dreaming of playing the sport on the grandest stages, like All-Star Weekend, which was here for the first time in 32 years. So much of it was amazing. You also had a variety of heartfelt tributes to Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and the other people who passed away in that tragic helicopter accident. And one of those things is a part of what led to a very entertaining All-Star game with the new rules, which were partly done to make it so that a couple of different Chicago charities could be the beneficiaries of each team winning all of the first three quarters independently of one another. But then also the final target score rule for the fourth quarter being to take the higher of the two combined quarters, one through three scores from whichever team had the highest combined score through three quarters, adding 24 to that and making that the final target score, 24, of course, a nod to Kobe. And that, I think, was what made a perfect cap to All-Star Weekend, because that fourth quarter was something that we have not seen from All-Star competitiveness in a long, long time. And when we first heard about these new rule changes, was on this podcast saying, man, like, I don't know, this seems overcomplicated. You can attribute to Kobe in a different way. You know, I feel like you're just kind of trying to change up something and freshen up something just to change it. And a lot of times rule changes don't necessarily make things better when you're trying to, liven up something that has become flat in some way. And I said, you know, if the players want to honor Kobe Bryant, then compete as hard as he did. Even though it's just an all-star game, compete like Kobe competed, and that's the perfect way to honor him. Well, it turns out that maybe the NBA knew all along that these specific rule changes would bring out exactly that. That this new competitive spirit in each of, you know, winning each of the first three quarters and having something to play for, something that benefited our great city of Chicago, and then also this fourth quarter, that was like the greatest pickup basketball game between the best basketball players in the world that we've seen in a long time, is what brought out that competitiveness that honors Kobe and that Kobe would want to see. So I was wrong. I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong. Of course, it's not all that often. But when I am wrong, I'll own up to it. That rule change was great because that was a really entertaining fourth quarter. It got kind of weird and out of hand towards the end with a little bit of flopping and some officiating that kind of seemed like it was trying to, like, steal the spotlight. But even still, and it had great moments. Giannis's chase down block of LeBron that was very reminiscent of LeBron's chase down block of Iguodala in the finals back in 2016. And players playing defense in an all-star game, teams actually running sets. And yeah, it was kind of an anticlimactic finish with Anthony Davis hitting a free throw to get to that target score of 157. But even still, that was the most entertaining all-star game we've seen in a long time. And it was a great cap to a great weekend. Unfortunately for Bulls fans, there was a lot of different kind of vibe to what was going on All-Star Weekend. And maybe not unfortunate entirely, because I think a lot of us out there wanted this national attention to descend upon our once proud basketball city, whose professional team is just absolutely hopeless, spinning its wheels right now. Doesn't even have wheels right now. And putting that focus and putting the embarrassment on this team on a national scale. You know, not fun, but something you got to do. Like ripping off a Band-Aid in some way. I'm sure it hurt the pride and hurt the ego of a lot of Bulls fans and a lot of Chicago basketball fans to see the dichotomy of, look at this amazing basketball city we live in. And look at all these people who are coming out, not only NBA stars and professional athletes in other sports and Hollywood celebrities and iconic musicians and all these people that come out of the woodwork for All-Star Weekend for the NBA, regardless of where it is. But it's here in Chicago. And Chicago showed out so beautifully. And at the same time, we have to think about where the Bulls are in the grand scope of all of this. Zach LaVine competing in round one of the three-point contest. And kudos to Zach. He showed out. He did a pretty good job. Was just shy of advancing to that next round of the three-point contest. Didn't get a surprise appearance from Zach in the dunk contest, unfortunately. But that's it. That's all we had. Other than that, the only thing that the Bulls were on center stage for throughout the entire weekend was being clowned for how bad and incompetent they are. And there were a variety of examples of that. And we'll continue to talk about that in just a second. Now that we're beyond the NBA All-Star break, that means baseball is getting even closer, folks. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. follow your favorite team to Arizona and check out one of 10 different stadiums for 15 different Major League Baseball teams in 75-degree temperatures. All 10 of those stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet your favorite players and get their autographs before the games. And that's not all. Check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your family's spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. So, about that attention that the Bulls got All-Star weekend. Not the kind of attention you want, but I think it's the kind of attention that Bulls fans, for the most part, hoped we would get in a way that, yeah, it's not going to be pretty, but we need to shine a light on this thing that isn't pretty. Because we need to get the attention of the people who are capable of actually creating change in this organization that is so desperately in need of change, because they appear too often and too frequently when the spotlight is not on them to carry on their merry way. We're just recently learning from the Forbes list of most valuable NBA franchises that despite all of this incompetence and not just mediocrity but basement-dwelling bullshit of this once proud organization, that the Bulls grew 10% in value as an NBA franchise from $2.9 billion last year to $3.2 billion this year. Congratulations to Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf. And, well, we all know how loyal they are, to a fault, and that as long as butts are in the seats, they don't really care if their basketball team wins. And certainly we also know that Jerry Reinsdorf cares a hell of a lot more about his precious White Sox than he ever has about putting together a winning basketball team, now that he has gotten those six rings and those six banners and those six Larry O'Brien trophies that will never, ever go away. Job done. Moving on. So knowing that that's how the people who run this organization have operated, and certainly when you think about how long this John Paxson regime, with almost as much tenure for Gar Forman in a high role, and you know Forman being around since even earlier in 98, how long they have been in these jobs versus what they have done to continue deserving to hold them. And this year, year three of a rebuild, has gone so disastrously in a way that the Bulls only get attention when they're getting clowned on the national media landscape. And all the national media arrived. And guess what? The Bulls got clowned. I mean, so many examples of the Bulls just being a laughingstock while Chicago, this very proud basketball city, is doing a tremendous job hosting one of the biggest sporting events of the year. You had Zach LaVine on First Take being asked about his faith or lack thereof in Bulls management to get the right pieces around him, to give him some help, to make a roster that can actually stop freaking losing. And what happens behind Zach LaVine? A Fire Gar Pax chant breaks out on national television. And if you're listening to this podcast and you were in that crowd watching First Take, good for you. You have my respect and my appreciation. You have Charles Barkley, an NBA legend, a good friend of Michael Jordan, a guy who has a lot of opinions about all things NBA, and sometimes people clown him for those takes, but the dude, more often than not, speaks the truth when it comes to highlighting and shining a flashlight on organizations that are struggling, that are a joke. And he did it all weekend long. as they were doing their wrap-up show, their post-game show after the All-Star break, or after the All-Star game itself Sunday night, you know, and bringing Kawhi, the MVP, onto the set, Chuck was saying all these wonderful flowery things about the city of Chicago and saying, I love Chicago. It's my second favorite city. And he said, but you know what? We're not coming back to Chicago again. And Ernie Johnson said, why is that, Chuck? And Chuck said, because the Bulls stink. And they do. And it's one of many things that Chuck said that was harsh but accurate about the Bulls all weekend long. There was the NBA All-Star Weekend roast where Gary Payton was up there paying respects to Dwayne Wade, who, you know, at the beginning of the Sunday night activity was sitting there watching and getting emotional and getting choked up as common, talked about Dwayne Wade being a kid from the streets of Chicago who grew into this legend and a Hall of Famer. And then also, you know, a night prior, we see Dwayne Wade chuckling and shaking his head kind of like half shamefully, but half like, well, yeah, true's true. When Gary Payton's up on a stage saying, you know, Dwayne Wade played 14 seasons for the Miami Heat. He sure as hell played the Bulls for $47 million. A guy who is being pointed to by an iconic Chicago musician on All-Star Sunday night is also laughing at the organization that is hosting the event. Because we all know that that's exactly what Dwayne Wade did. And it's why, as much as it bugs my buddy Big Dave, I always jab at Dwayne Wade because, yes, it is not more his fault than the Bulls front office's fault for how completely stupid that was. The three alphas year, bringing in Dwayne Wade a day after they tell us they're going to get younger and more athletic. The way that that was completely the wrong direction to go if you were actually trying to build a winning team and a logical roster around Jimmy Butler as his best player. Yes, it's mostly on the fault of the Bulls front office, but D-Wade knew what he was doing. He played the Bulls to get back at Pat Riley. And he knew it. And Gary Payton called it out for what it was. And Dwayne Wade sheepishly hid his face when the camera cut to him because he knew what he did. And hey, cash those checks, Dwayne. Like, it's the Bulls' fault for giving it to you. But he knows what he did. So the Bulls get clowned that way by one of these Chicago icons. We're all here to celebrate the great basketball city of Chicago. Here's one of our own laughing at how incompetent the Bulls are. And you saw that kind of stuff all weekend long. And it's, I mean, I, you know, I mentioned that one of the things that we got to do this weekend was welcome Tim Hardaway onto our All-Star special episode of The Outsiders. And it's such an honor and a privilege to chat with a Chicago hoops legend like Tim Hardaway. And I asked him a question about the difference, the striking dissimilarity right now between the pride of being a product of Chicago basketball and how messed up the Bulls are. And his answer was great and basically said, hey, man, the Bulls are the Bulls. Chicago basketball is Chicago basketball. And right now, the Bulls, what they're doing, that does not represent Chicago basketball. Bulls were getting clowned in all these directions. Perhaps the worst one, the most embarrassing one for this franchise, that, as I'm sure they probably heard it, really stung when Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf and everybody that runs this organization heard it. Scottie Pippen. Scottie freaking Pippen. Hall of Famer. One of the two members of arguably the greatest NBA duo of all time. Six-time NBA champion. Dude's name hangs in the rafters of your basketball building. He is still on the letterhead among those who represent the Chicago Bulls. A special advisor to the Reinsdorfs. Scottie freaking Pippen. A guy who, even after leaving the Bulls in the tail end of his career, you know, stints in Houston and Portland, came back for a final run in the early 2000s when he was ready to lace him up, has always had a closer tie to the organization than MJ, than the GOAT. Because after that final rally in Grant Park where MJ said, my heart will always be, you know, with the city of Chicago, he kind of left. Like, and I'm not necessarily knocking MJ for that. This isn't his hometown. He became the biggest name associated with Chicago basketball because he's the biggest name associated with basketball, period. And he won six titles here. But he moved on. You know, became an executive for the Washington Wizards and then came out of retirement for a while and played and then retired again and then went and got his own team in the place where he's actually from. And now as the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, MJ's not around Chicago all that much. MJ's not connected to the Bulls in any way anymore. The biggest name of legend that is connected to this team, that represents this team in some way as an icon who used to win on the court for the organization, is Scottie freaking Pippen. And on one of his many national TV appearances, he's talking about the Bulls and saying, man, I don't even know half the players on this roster this season. I don't know who these people are who are starting Bulls games, but I tell you what, they're not NBA starters. This is the dude that won six titles for your organization and is a special advisor to the ownership of this organization, and he is on national TV clowning you. Straight up clowning you. But nothing he said was wrong. So these were the painful but necessary things that Bulls fans had to hear all weekend long that highlighted the gigantic divide between how proud Chicagoans are of Chicago basketball and what a great basketball city this is and just what a great city this is. With some of the best sports fans in the world. And what a clown car joke the Chicago Bulls are right now. And I think for the most part, Bulls fans would appreciate that, yeah, it was not the most fun thing to experience. You know, all the viral FireGuard Pack stuff that we got to experience this weekend, videos of people chanting in bars and clubs and on sets of various shows, and also the fact that just as we were watching the All-Star Game unfold Sunday night, that hashtag FireGuard Packs was a worldwide trending topic. Good job, Bulls fans. Way to represent. It's the ugly thing that needed to happen. And for all of the ways that they can avoid the spotlight, because guess what? Even bigger market team like the Knicks, even more, if not just as dysfunctional as the Bulls, get a lot more of that attention on the national scale. But we all come to Chicago, a great basketball city, and what do the Bulls have going for them All-Star weekend? They're 17 games under 500. They don't have an All-Star on the roster. And their head coach is getting clowned by just about every other team in the league for the dumb shit that he does. Getting clowned by media of other teams for the dumb shit that he does. And a front office that is supposedly still doubling down on this guy, refusing to take accountability for any of the things that they've done wrong, their gross negligence and incompetence, and an ownership group that's totally cool to look the other way. Or are they? Because that's the other big thing that we learned this weekend that we have to talk about. The front office news that came down Sunday night. We first got it from Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times, and then our Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago, Casey Johnson, followed it up with a similar piece. And this was like an hour before tip-off of the All-Star Game Sunday night is when this stuff was dropped. And it's because there was this talk going around the city all weekend long about the Bulls are silently, quietly using All-Star Weekend to talk to people about some kind of front office change that's on the way. So, just going to hit a couple of highlights from both of these pieces, and then we will discuss what we heard. This is from Cowley. According to several NBA executives, the Bulls are in the early stages of adding a new face to the front office, with a position defined as a general manager with a louder voice. One executive said the talks with candidates have been through back channels with no formal interviews taking place, but the search is believed to be widespread. A little bit further down in this column from Cowley, that the hope for Paxson is this new hire will take over the media duties, allowing him to slip into the background. As for Foreman, he's not expected to be fired. Instead, he'd be moved to the scouting department, which the Bulls are looking to build up. There was a report that Paxson's power would also be diminished and that he'd be given a different title, but other executives indicated that will not be the case. Coach Jim Boylan's situation will be interesting to watch. The current front office and ownership have backed Boylan fully, but all indications are that the new hire will be given the chance to stick with Boylan or bring in a coach he can hand pick. So that was Cowley, and now here's KC. Talk has been rampant throughout All-Star Weekend about expected changes to the Bulls front office. According to multiple sources, Reinsdorf has been using this week to continue seeking input from confidants around the league on candidates for what one source described as an empowered presence in the front office. While no final decisions have been made, the expected addition would take on the day-to-day operations and become a fresh voice and face of the franchise. It's unclear what this addition's title would be. However, general manager Gar Foreman likely will remain in the scouting role he has worked in this season, while Paxson would still report to the Reinsdorfs. The scouting department also is expected to undergo a significant facelift, sources said. As for the future of coach Jim Boylan, who signed an extension last summer, he still has significant support from the Reinsdorfs and Paxson. Whether he returns or not could be the first test of the autonomy of this expected new hire. So there's KC's thoughts on what he heard this weekend. And when I heard the news that came from various league sources, executives that have been around the city of Chicago All-Star Weekend, and what I heard from these pieces from Cowley and KC, I had essentially two reactions. One, fuck. Two, not surprised. Because this is not the massive overhaul, the sweeping change of the front office of this organization that we had heard from other reports and rumors just, you know, earlier this season as things were crumbling. And David Kaplan, you know, a good buddy of mine who does great work for NBC Sports Chicago, is one who had those earlier thoughts about what he's heard from his sources is that massive overhaul, big changes coming. And then even like earlier this morning when people were tweeting at him during his, you know, usual time slot on morning sports talk radio, that these things we heard from Kylie and KC do not at all sound like what we heard from Cap, which was massive overhaul. All this sounds like from these reports from KC and Cowley are they're going to bring in a new face that will have some significant voice, some significant level of authority. But Gar will be remaining with the organization in the scouting department that's going to get a facelift, and that John Paxson will still very much be involved in the decision-making process, including the decision-making process of hiring this person, this new face, this new voice. So, not surprising to me because this sounds exactly like the same shit that the Bulls have been doing for years. You know, I was joking with you know, some of the folks that came out to see our show at Highline on Friday afternoon about, you know, the Bulls bringing in a new voice and the fact that this team is so in-house and so just grossly used to, you know, nepotism and blind loyalty, and that, you know, the idea of bringing in a fresh voice is going to Gar Forman's Rolodex that has six names of people that all live in Iowa on it. Because this is, it is so in line with the crap that we have to you know, watch unfold as Bulls fans, because this is how ownership operates. We're going to bring in a fresh voice, but we're so friendly and buddy-buddy and loyal with people like Gar and John that we're just going to shuffle things around. And don't worry, this fresh voice is going to have authority to change things. Who the fuck believes that? Because it's not remotely believable to say you're going to bring in a new voice, and this voice, with whatever authority they are given, will be able to change the completely shattered, torn to pieces, quote-unquote, culture that Paxton's so obsessed with talking about that we have right now. As long as Gar and John are still here. You change nothing. Let's start with Gar real quick. This whole idea that, well, they're going to move Gar just to essentially being a scout exclusively for a facelift for the scouting department, and he won't be the GM anymore with all of the duties and privileges and authority that usually come with a general manager title. Guess what? That already happened. That happened about 2 years ago when Gar was stripped of his, whether you call them rights or responsibilities, talking to the media because he kept putting his foot in his freaking mouth while trying to explain what it is the Bulls were trying to accomplish. And Paxton said, yo, buddy, go hit the scouting wire. I'll take over here while we try and, as best we can, articulate to the media and the fans of our team what we're trying to do here, because you suck at it. Gar got stripped of most of his GM authority already. And what about a scouting change, a scouting department change where Gar is running the scouting, makes that a facelift? Because that's what's been happening already. That's not a facelift. That's doing the same shit. That is the opposite of a facelift. Gar Forman's saggy face is the opposite of a facelift, if you're talking about making a change to the Bulls scouting department. And Gar staying around, even if he's not the GM anymore? Because he's certainly not the GM anymore in actuality. He still is technically entitled. But even if he's still around, and not around as often, like physically, geographically, because he's off scouting in various places, probably mostly Iowa, his name is still attached to the organization. And the distrust that players and agents have of Gar Forman is still around as long as his name is attached to the organization. Players who learned that Gar put moles on the team's coaching staff to report back to him about what was being said about the front office and what these players are doing and saying, and the long-existing rumor that some people have confirmed, some people have denied, about Gar Forman and the Bulls front office bugging Tom Thibodeau's office so they could spy on not only their players but their head coach. And an agent of one of the most talented Bulls who have been in their building in recent years saying, I've met drug dealers with higher moral character than Gar Forman. And look, I'm not saying I know for certain that any of those things are true. And one of those things is a pretty aggressive character assassination of Gar Forman. And I do not know Gar Forman personally to say that's a fair character assessment. But what I do know is that regardless of the level of truth to any of those things, putting moles on the coaching staff to spy on his players, bugging his head coach's office so he can spy on his coach, and the lack of moral character. What I do know is that all of those things are out there. All of those things have been said, and it's not just fans and media who are aware of those being things that have been said. It is NBA players, and it is NBA executives, and it is the agents of those players. So, if you're an NBA player deciding where to play, free agent, I could go play anywhere. The city of Chicago and stuff like, you know, the performance by Common and all these iconic like Chicago hoops moments we experienced over All-Star Weekend maybe had some players thinking, man, it would be really cool to bring this Bulls team back to relevancy and shine in the shadow of MJ and play in one of the great basketball cities. Oh, but then there's that other stuff. Ugh. Do I really want to go play for an organization that still employs Gar Forman? Do I really want to go play there? Can I trust the people that run that organization to do right by me while I play there? Because bringing in a new face doesn't fix that. If the old face that has trust issues and public perception and outside perception issues ruining the culture of this team is still here, if only in name, and the fact that he's off scouting somewhere far away from the United Center, if the name is still attached, the trust issue still exists. And the outside perception issue still exists. And the same can be said for John Paxson. If the name is still there, if the blind loyalty that exists between ownership and this guy, the vice president of basketball operations, is still here, and maybe Paxson's title changes, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe they just let him keep his VP title and say, you can, you know, take a back seat publicly, keep an eye on things, but let this newcomer run things. Again, the same kinds of issues exist as with keeping Gar. That public perception of bad culture doesn't change and doesn't get fixed as long as John's still here. Nobody will believe that the culture is changing if the people who created the bad culture are still here, regardless of whatever shuffling of titles that you do or don't do, whatever fresh face that you bring in. And just as worrisome to me as Gar is to hindering free agents from wanting to come play here, and agents telling their players not to trust this organization because of Gar, a similar issue exists with Paxson and whoever this fresh face might be. Because at the very least, and it's something that Cowley highlighted in his piece, the Bulls are actually, theoretically, looking outside the box on this one. And that was a big part of, let's make use of our time. Let's be productive All-Star Weekend and talk to people that we don't necessarily talk to on a regular basis because they're not on Gar's Iowa Rolodex, and see if we can start formulating some ideas of who we might want to talk to bring in as this fresh voice for our organization. If John's still here, and John's the one in some way running this search for a fresh voice, and John is still holding on to some level of authority, even if he's going to, you know, quote, slip into the background, will any of the elite potential hires, the young executives, the assistant GMs, the people who are making positive noise in a progressive NBA, people who get it, people who can actually finally bring the Bulls out of the fucking Stone Age when it comes to building a culture and a winning basketball program in this city, will any of those people be interested in the job? Can the Bulls even get them in the building for an interview if the people who they reach out to are aware of the fact that, well, hey, we've got a GM position open, but just so you know, John's still going to be here. And hey, it's your show. But you know, John's going to hang on, and you know, he's going to do some advisory stuff and bounce ideas off of him, and you know, but we really want to hear your fresh voice. Will anyone be dumb enough to believe that they would actually have full authority to run the team they want to run the team based on everything we know about the control freak shit that John and Gar have both tried to pull while being the people in charge of this organization? Nobody in their right mind would believe that when they were being pitched on the gig. And even if, as Casey Johnson and Callie both pointed out, the person they bring in to be the fresh voice is given some level of authority to say, hey, man, no offense to you and your guy, Jim Boylan, I want to go in a different direction, and the Bulls green light that idea, and you at least get rid of Jim, okay, that's one problem solved, but it's a smaller problem, and the bigger one still exists. Because the bigger problem is still public perception. The bigger problem is that still none of the top talent players in this league will want to come play for Chicago as long as the outside noise around the Bulls is, don't trust the people running that organization. Bringing in a GM who can fire Jim and bring in somebody else doesn't fix that problem. It fixes a molehill problem, and the mountain problem still exists. And the kicker there that just makes this oh so sweet for John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf is that if they bring in this fresh voice and say, if you want to bring in your own coach, we understand and we're going to let you do that. You know, we appreciate what Jim Boylan has been trying to do for this team, but we will, if you think it's best, new GM, new fresh voice, we'd be okay with paying him to walk away. Because guess what? Paying Jim Boylan to walk away is going to cost the Bulls a hell of a lot less than what it paid than what it cost them to pay Tibbs to walk away. And a hell of a lot less than what it cost them to pay Hoiberg to walk away because of Jim's modest contract in comparison. And by doing so, John once again can shield himself from accountability that he absolutely should take. Accountability that should have gotten him fired a long fucking time ago. Because it won't be saying, ah, shoot, my bad. I doubled down on Jim Boylan. I gave Boylan an extension. And Michael Reinsdorf was really on board with this too. Michael Reinsdorf loves Jim Boylan. And, you know, we believe in Jim, but we wanted to bring in a fresh voice, and this fresh voice wants to hire his guy. Guess what? That is a brilliantly clever way for John Paxson to not have to own up for the fact that he once again fucked up. Because they already punished Gar and banished him away from most of his GM responsibilities to scouting for blaming him for the Hoiberg hire that didn't go well. They didn't do him any favors, but they still put that on Gar because that was clearly Gar's guy. And Doug Collins in particular thought that Gar did not do a good job in his quote-unquote search and bringing in Fred Hoiberg. We know that. That has been reported. And Jim Boylan being John Paxson's guy, and Jim Boylan being Michael Reinsdorf's guy, well, once again, the people who should be held accountable are shielded. And their incompetence is shielded by being able to say, our fresh voice wants a new coach. We love Jim. We appreciate Jim. We still believe that he could get the Bulls to where they want to go, but we're going to try and give this fresh voice some authority. So we'll let him hire his own coach. And they don't have to take responsibility for the ridiculous decision of hiring Jim Boylan and extending his contract. And even mid-season, as we have all learned, even those of us who gave Jim a clean slate after taking over for Fred halfway through last year, I gave Jim a clean slate this year. It didn't take us long to figure out that dude can't coach his way out of a paper bag. And here's one more thing that John Paxson will not have to take accountability for. And nothing changes. Gar Forman is still attached to this organization, albeit with a different title, and the public perception, nothing changes. John Paxson, still involved, whether as VP or an advisor, still has some level of authority that he, I'm sure, will not just give up willy-nilly. He will not go quietly. He will want to be involved. He will be involved in picking the person to be this fresh voice who actually believes that they will have full authority, full control. They don't actually bring in a fresh voice. They bring in a familiar voice that's cool with being part of this clown car, and nothing changes. Even if they get rid of Jim and fire it and hire a different coach, nothing changes. The big picture problem of the fact that no players and no agents trust the people attached to this organization, at the top of this organization, that executives who are skeptical of how much authority they would actually have if the Reinsdorfs are still just blindly loyal to John Paxson and John Paxson is still around. Why would they want to come take this job? You're not getting the elite level people to interview for this job because those people are smart enough to know they should keep their distance from this dysfunctional group, and nothing changes. And hey, I'm not ruling out entirely the possibility that what we heard this weekend is just the start of something bigger, and that maybe by the time we get to the Reinsdorfs making these decisions, we got, you know, 20-some games to slog through before this bull season is mercifully over, and maybe you can start actually getting people in the room for official sit-down interviews. We'll see. Maybe they do give Gar the axe. Maybe they do just give Jim Boylan the axe right away before even hiring anybody. Maybe they do say, Jim, we appreciate everything you've done for us, and let's find you a job somewhere else in the organization that doesn't involve basketball decisions because we're going to give full carte blanche authority to somebody new. It's still possible that that happens. But based on everything we heard this weekend from legitimate sources who were in the know in and around Chicago while all these things were going on, that's not what we heard. What we heard was, sadly but not surprisingly, more of the same. And when it comes to actually creating change, actually finally completely severing ties with these people that they should sever ties from to try to start on that long road to rebuilding the credibility of this once proud franchise that got mocked and laughed at all-star season, all-star weekend long while they were the host city's team. Until those ties are severed, none of this changes. None of this changes. And it's not surprising. And that, well, maybe things will change in the coming months, and these reports we heard about shuffling around Gar and shuffling around John and bringing in one fresh voice, but Gar and John both stay. Maybe that changes. Maybe we get the real change that we have been crying out for years now. And boy, what a day would that be. But as I have said all along, when it comes to various rumors and reports about the job security of those two men in particular and real change finally coming to this team, I'll tell you now what I have been telling you for years. I'll believe it when I see it. And not until then. Wow. Okay. Well, that was kind of a longer episode than I thought, but had to, you know, really get out all the thoughts about All-Star Weekend and all the things we learned, including these big pieces about potential change on the way in the front office. As I said at the top of the show, I hope all of you enjoyed All-Star Weekend. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate those of you who came out to hang out with us Highline or were interacting with us during our live sidecast of All-Star Saturday Night activities for outsiders. It was a lot of fun. And now we mercifully have a few more days until we have to, for those of you who still are, along with me and my fellow ride or dies, watch Bulls basketball again Thursday night. So enjoy the time between now and then. Enjoy the extended break from the pitifulness that is Bulls basketball. And in the meantime, hit us up on that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Enjoy your Monday. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com